Leviticus 13. Just casually look at Leviticus 13 is 59 verses. It's one of the longest in the Bible, chapters in the Bible. Leviticus 14 is 57 verses. That's a fairly large percentage of the law. It's connected with something that for the modern church is a meaningless thing, or else they say it's sin. You know, they just say leprosy. They say everything is sin. They don't even know what that means, but leprosy is like sin. But no one in the early church ever thought leprosy was sin. Leprosy was a heresy. Leprosy was fundamentally operating in the strength of the flesh as opposed to the strength of the spirit. When the New Testament word for flesh is used, it's sarx, S-A-R-X in Greek. There's other places where another word for flesh is used, but so it's somewhat confusing, but for the most part, almost every time the word flesh is used, it's sarx. And it means raw flesh, exposed flesh, as you would see if someone was leprous. Hunks of flesh, raw flesh. As I've searched this out and spent many, many years studying it, leprosy is the most important thing that you as a teacher and you as someone that's truly interested in what this stuff is about can know about. It can't be seen in the early stages. You can't even talk about leprosy with a new believer. You can't talk about leprosy with someone that's on the verge or this barrier between whether it's a meat need or a leprosy. It cannot possibly be understood. The mind of God, God's mind in you will not let you understand it. Remember, leprosy cannot exist anywhere in the world, anywhere in Egypt. It cannot exist in Babylon. Leprosy cannot exist in the wilderness. It cannot exist anywhere except in this travel, in this trek. It exists everywhere, but you can't see it except in this brief period from the border of the promise to Jerusalem. Once you enter the city of Jerusalem or the walled city of Jerusalem, then leprosy is not impossible. The fact, if you have leprosy, it means that you are in that range between the border and Jerusalem. That's a big deal. Spiritually, you can only see it in that, on the whole face of the earth, you can only see it in that brief period of the trek. But it's the most dangerous part of your trek. Once you cross the border, if leprosy is seen, then you risk everything. Because if you are seen to have leprosy, and a spotted especially if you have leprosy of the forehead, but you have leprous spots on your body, you are forever cut off. Forever! You're without hope. You're forever cut off from the people of God. Now, this isn't some idiotic rabbi declaring you anathema. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to enter into the promise in a leprous state. It doesn't seem fair, because he won't allow you to see that you have leprosy. I mean, if he let you see that you had leprosy a long time ago, then you could have done something about it. But from the spiritual standpoint, you have a very, very short distance. It's the distance from halfway between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're right about it. Right now, until the Feast of Tabernacles, is about all the time that you have to see that you have leprosy spiritually. If you have quote-unquote true believers in your Bible studies, it's all the time they have to see that they have leprosy. A leprous person cannot partake of the Feast of Tabernacles because the Feast of Tabernacles can only be done in Jerusalem. You understand that? It's not that you shouldn't, it's you can't. When Jude is talking about being spots on your Feast of Charity, he's talking about leprous spots. Let's go there. Jude 24. Or don't go to 24, just go to Jude. Starting in verse 7. He's talking about judgment on false teachers and probably false Levites too. False teachers and false priests. And so the first few verses there are all about that. And in verse 7 he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, remember the discussion with Lot about Sodom and Gomorrah that God had? Have you guys got there yet in your Bible studies? You know, can you find me 50 men? Can you find me in the whole city? And what was the final thing that God said? For the sake of 10, for the sake of a minion, I will save it. If there were 9, he wouldn't have saved. This doesn't jive with our concepts of mercy. Our concepts of mercy, this is for an example. That means it's for a model. It's for a picture. It's for an architect's model. It's for you to see exactly what happened spiritually. If there were 9, it didn't matter. It got destroyed. If there was 1 nice, sweet person there, little old lady in tennis shoes, it got destroyed. You know why? Because if there was 1, or 2, or 3, or 4, or 5, or 6, or 7, or 8, or 9 that were as described by Lot, they would have left. If there wouldn't have been 10 could have restored, 10 could have resurrected that idiotic place. You understand? But if there were 1, he couldn't have stood it. If there were 2, he couldn't have stood it. If there were 3, etc., till we come to a minion. So we see Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers. What's a dreamer? A dreamer, the word dreamer in the Greek means, I don't remember what the word is, but it means one who establishes his own truth. Now, one who believes in subjective truth, one who believes that one witness is sufficient. None of you would do that, would you? None of you would take action and get all emotional and throw stuff at the rabbi based on one witness, would you? Who did that? Huh?
Larry would do it.
Oh, so now you've got an ally.
Larry and Jacob and I would do it.
A filthy dreamer, by God's definition, by this word's definition, is one who believes in subjective truth. Now, if you consider your life, almost all of your life, in your private time, you spend believing in subjective truth.
What is subjective? I don't know. What is it?
Subjective truth means, I feel it. I feel like you're doing this wrong. You're doing this to me. Subjective truth. Something you feel.
That's what subjective means, yeah. Feeling?
That's your own. There's no other witness. There's no other witness. Filthy dreamer. Filthy dreamer. Can you all understand that you're all guilty, that we are all guilty? That's why we must go to the cross. To be a filthy dreamer without, you'll see what it is in a minute. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? This isn't talking about people that are in the world. What was the way of Cain?
He offered a sacrifice from what was cursed.
He offered a sacrifice without blood, because everything was cursed. So therefore it couldn't show the picture. He got banished because he showed the wrong picture. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. What was the error of Balaam?
Mixing the world for results.
For results. Results. The error of Balaam is best manifested by the belief system in results. I.e., you remember we've talked about, now the way is going to get a little bit narrower here, so the screws are going to start cranking on this head. The way of Balaam says, I need this as a result. The act of defining the result is how you enter into the way of Balaam. Because, without question, the act of defining a result means you're defining your own reward. Otherwise, even if it's a bad result, you understand? You invented your own reward in the smallest details of your thinking. God says, abandon yourself, take no thought for your life, take no thought for anything. Let his mercy, let his mystery reveal it. The way of Balaam for reward says, I need to do this. Once you say, I need to do that, then you've entered into Balaam's thinking. Once you've said, you need to do that, you have started the leprosy. Understand the implications of this? The Spirit never, ever, ever looks at results, because the results are all the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. Everything is already completed in heaven. The Spirit never cares about results. The Spirit and you, if you have the mind of Christ, see what? You see that the process is the end, because the process is the antagonism that's forcing out that which is already complete to be revealed. The vessel of clay must be broken. This is the most important thing you will ever hear with regard to the 24-hour-a-day walk of your life. This is what will destroy the brain cells. It will be the instrument of it will be the quickest instrument for the renewal of your mind there is. Because your mind cannot stand this. Your mind must think in terms of results. This is endemic. You understand? This isn't something that you can choose, okay, well, I'm not going to think about having results. Because in that act, you're thinking about having results. You're not, okay, I'm going to think about abandoning myself. In the act of thinking about yourself, you have stopped any possibility of abandoning. Do you hear me? This has to go so deep that it destroys the neurons. It creates new pathways for thought processes. This says, I do not have the right to judge anything, because everything is God's arrangement. This says, now I consider the bird of the air. Everything else is something evil, beyond evil. You understand?
Darryl was right. Darryl, when the topic of his sermon was Christ and the gospel are a strange computer virus from outer space that comes in and destroys everything. Right.
Okay, we've done two of the three now. This is the way of Cain, the way of Balaam. What's next? I wonder what's next. Oh. Wonder how come you know that one so well, Pete?
That's great.
Huh?
It's great. You're gonna pick on Pete.
Well, Cora here, Pete Cora.
I agree with Cora Evans.
Cora Evans.
Run to the cross. Run
to the cross. That's all I got to say.
What's the gainsaying of Cora? Tell me, you all know.
Well, we not all.
God talks to me.
The gainsaying of Korah, it's encompassing a whole lot of things, but fundamentally it's the idea of rebellion in its purest form. But it's also the idea of, obviously, if there's rebellion, there's no submission. If there's no submission, that means you've established your own God. If you can't submit to the body, if you can't submit to the authority, then there is no possibility for you anything else to take place. Nothing can take place in Korah except the Holy Spirit destroying your life. How many men did God kill for the gainsaying of Korah? 23,000. All the leadership. Why? Why can that be so important? He doesn't want to have robots. Does that mean he should just silently lay down? That's why my topic with all of the Levites is don't lay down on me. Don't roll over. Don't disagree with me silently and then walk away in rebellion. That's rebellion, the silence. Rebellion isn't telling me what you think. Huh? unless in the street terms of the street you've copped an attitude. Now, unfortunately, all these three effectively are the New Testament tests for leprosy. Hear me. Hear this very carefully. The way of Cain, going after Balaam for reward, and the gainsaying of Korah are the three tests for leprosy. Now you, as priest or potential priest, have to know how to administer that test. It has to be done under the law, not as a brute beast, but one whose senses have been exercised to discern soul from spirit. Fundamentally, leprosy to the New Testament, to us, is someone who is operating in the soul realm, in the realm of the soul, as opposed to the realm of the spirit. The church talks a lot about your soul. They get it confused. They think that's your spirit. You're made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. The spirit component within you is the seed of Christ, that germ of God that's within you, the spark of life. The soul is your you-ness. It's what makes you you. Your intelligence, your emotions, your intellect, your will, all of it is your soul. Your soul is cursed. Hear me. Your mind is cursed. It cannot improve. It's not going to get any better. Spiritual leprosy, the New Testament leprosy, is revealed by an attitude as opposed to the thing that happens, the fermenting in your skin. This is the fermenting in the soul. And it's 10,000 times more hideous, 10 billion times more hideous, if you could see it, than the leprosy of the flesh is. Okay, you remember, do all of you agree? You understand?
Well, I don't know. You just said the soul is cursed. And I'm thinking, you know, what about the souls of just men made perfect, and the souls lead to the saving of your soul? I'm not.
I don't understand. Now you can begin to understand what it means. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Or you be transfigured by the renewing of your soul. The renewal is the mind of Christ, the soul of Christ. But the soul of Christ manifested in us cannot be an isolated individual. It has to be a body. It has to be a people.
I'm really fuzzy on soul spirit. I mean, there's, you know, I've tried to read on it and stuff, but I really don't understand.
Okay, the best basic book for body, soul, spirit doctrine as Watchman Nee's, The Spiritual Man.
Well, I just started on it, you know, but it takes a while to...
Well, that's all we've talked about for...
Yeah, I know, but it still takes a while to get into, I mean, the...
No. I mean, you've already got a basis for it.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a basis, but I mean, to sit and... I mean, when you say soul's cursed, I mean, I hadn't gotten far enough to...
Okay.
I mean,
the carnal, you understand that the main component of the soul is your mind. Okay? You understand that your mind is carnal. Okay?
Sold under sin.
It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. In fact, it's an enemy of God. Now, I'll just say, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Your soul is cursed. It's an enemy of God.
Well, Okay, when you say soul, that encompasses all. I just don't understand it all.
Okay, everything that you can know about your soul is in the words carnal mind.
Yeah.
Carnal mind, soul are the same thing, effectively. Unless it's redeemed, unless it's transformed. It's transformed by the act of the cross and the act of abandonment. That's what we're about.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the basics then. The three ways that you have to test whether or not you are... Well, you can't test yourself. Only a priest can. The three ways that are used to test whether leprosy exists are the doctrine of the Cain, Korah, and Balaam. Okay, let's go on. These are spots. These are spots, blemishes, putrefying sores, ugly, incredibly ugly. No matter how important they might be. This doesn't say whether someone is saved or not. You understand? This doesn't say whether someone has quote-unquote sinned or not. This says there is an act of apostasy that has taken place in a believer. Again, you couldn't be a non-believer and have leprosy. There are spots in your feasts of charity. These are the agape feasts. That's the weekly feast that was celebrated for the first long time of the church. Until it stopped because they got too big. They forgot about the Seder groups. They got too big and they got drunk a lot. We need to learn from them too. They are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Now, the word foaming isn't an accident. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Can you accept the viable possibility that Jude is talking about leprosy? Well, let's go some more. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Now, that sounds so religious, I can't even stand it. Ungodly deeds. It just means deeds based on self-effort. Doesn't matter that whether done by God people or world people. Self-effort is the evil one. Self-effort is the lie that says you have to do something. Self-effort is the lie that makes the cross of Christ zero. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of an advantage or because of advantage, in order to gain advantage. In other words,
Balaam.
Yeah. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
You know, this verse says, these be those who separate themselves, sensual, you know, based on your feelings, what you're saying also. And I think that is probably the hardest, the most crucial thing that any of us could ever come to understand. I know for me, you know, of not operating based on feeling.
Amen.
You know, to where to enter into this place of faith. I mean, because it comes again. I don't know if it's just in the time we live or what.
Yeah, it's always.
But it seems like that. You live all your life with that being the chief verifier. Well, maybe there are other people who think differently, who do live according to their mind. There are those, I guess. for a good portion of us, it's the emotion.
Well, what is this thing called leprosy? What is this thing called? It's a slowly progressing, intractable disease. It means it's no cure. Characterized by subcutaneous nodules or scabs or crusts and white shining spots appearing to be deeper than the skin. The hairs of the affected part turn white. Then later there is a growth of quick, raw flesh. The first mention of leprosy was when God gave it to Moses. Remember? Looked and his hand was leprous. Put it in and came out to take it out again. Josephus, a lot of people say that that's the reason he was expelled from Egypt and had to spend all those years in the desert is because somebody there thought he had. You know, that's just a theory, so don't worry about it. The second mention of it is where Miriam, where God smote her for rebellion and speaking against Moses. Now, the question arises here. Well, then, let's deal with Moses first. If the law, the oral law, says that you cannot get leprosy unless you're in the city of Jerusalem, how in the world did Moses get leprosy in Egypt?
Hold on. Did you say you can't get it unless you're in Jerusalem?
No, in the promise. Excuse me, not including Jerusalem. How did he get it when he was in Egypt? It's the proof that the promise was always there. And through the spiritual man, he was always living in the promise. The same with Miriam. Miriam, there was a second mention when she got rebellion for speaking against Moses. In Numbers 12. Now,
this is for them who have tasted the heavenly gift, it's impossible for them to be renewed. Isn't this like leprosy? You couldn't be in that place unless you were leprous.
Yeah.
You have to have tasted the heavenly gift.
You had to have gone beyond just touching it or seeing it or smelling it. You had to taste it. But you understand that it's really important that you see these three things. Balaam, get Cain, and Korah as the signs or the way in which you know leprosy exists. Does this stuff make any sense to you?
It depresses me.
It's making sense. It's getting through.
A light bulb went off in me when you said that leprosy is bad.
It's an attitude.
Copying a tude.
It really was a big light bulb.
Copying a tude. Okay. Let's see if I can depress Brian some more. There's no cure for leprosy.
Let's get really depressed.
Neither in the law of God or anywhere in the scriptures is there anywhere of a mention of a treatment or a remedy. You believe that? Give me some exceptions, you guys that know the scriptures. There's at least two.
Naaman.
Was he cured?
Cleansed.
There's a difference between cleansed and cured. It's a legal definition. The lepers were cleansed in the New Testament.
Well, his flesh was restored as new, so I don't, it says it was made like a baby's.
It was a miracle. Rather than the cure. The big difference.
Is that one of the two you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Go, guys.
Jesus cleansed about six of them.
Jesus cleansed the lepers.
Ten.
Only one went back and said, thank you.
It just goes to show you.
The reason I'm saying, wants to be so insistent is that there is nothing that you can do. Do you understand? Can I get an amen that every one of you here has leprosy?
Yeah.
Amen. Second thing, there's nothing you can do about it.
Actually,
it's not. Because you have to do a whole bunch of stuff. And you can't just...
That's right. Now, the cleansing, the becoming like a baby... Becoming like a baby skin was a picture for us.
Yeah, unless you become as a child.
Unless you become as a, it's the new creation. It's a picture of the new creation. It's the type. That's a big important thing. Now, leprosy is spread by a process of fermentation. Legally, legally, fermentation is the following definition. It's a chemical decomposition of an organic compound induced by living organisms or by chemical agents. In other words, leprosy in the skin, leprosy in the body, is chemically decomposing your body. And it's just as if you were put into a grave and your body was decomposing. That's what's happening in leprosy. Now, the other definition of that's what's happening in fermentation, that's why when we studied the wine, and we saw what happened to the wine and what's happening right now. Again, remember, this is what's happening spiritually to the wine. It's a chemical decomposition of an organic compound induced by living organisms, which is the yeast, and or by chemical agents, which is if they have to add the other thing. Also, fermentation means to be agitated by emotions or passions. Leprosy, then, is the normal process of emotions and passions kept inward. If it's kept inward, it's not mixed with the other grapes. simply a rotten grape without the covering removed. That's what leprosy is. That's why the New Testament is so full of the warning against not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's why it's so full of things like what we just read in Jude, sensual, separating themselves. That's why the together aspects of the New Testament are almost on every page. You cannot be us without being us. You cannot privatize your lives. Slightest. The privatization of your life is the evidence of a whore's forehead. Now, well, we didn't do this before. We weren't in the promise before. We spent a lot of years wandering around the wilderness. We spent a lot of years getting out of Egypt. But now we are moved in, we've moved into the promise. It's dangerous for the rest of the world that we've moved into the promise. I promise you that. You cannot live your life with the same ambitions and dreams and desires that you did yesterday or last year. It won't be me that separates you. It'll be the Holy Spirit. You've got your fear in the wrong direction. If you're afraid of me, we've reached a state where this body is a whole, where the psalmist says about us, touch not mine anointed, nor do my holy prophets no harm. There can be no, we've turned a degree. We've gone, we've moved into a new dimension. The evidence of the dimension wasn't the Nazarite vow. The evidence of the dimension was that we were able to begin the process of making wine. You can be inexorably, you will be inexorably different from now on. The winemaking wasn't an accident in the economy of God. The winemaking was at the right time, at the right place. It's a totally different world now for us. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it. I sense it in everything. I sense it in the very air I breathe. The air of the earth is getting rarer and rarer. It's like we're climbing higher and higher in the mountain. The barrier between soul and spirit is getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. Now, leprosy will be seen. When we studied this 3 years ago, we didn't see any leprosy. We just talked about it. Yeah, leprosy. Now, it's going to be serious. I exhort you to make this known to your Bible studies. The not mixing with the other grapes is the opposite of what good wine is, and God wants a good wine. You understand now where we are? Leprosy is the opposite of wine. Therefore, from where we are, leprosy is our ultimate enemy at this stage.
Christ's name is not with me.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who can but ferment? I'm so sick of the privatization of lives, the plans, the secrets. It's not going to. It's just going to die. I'm so sick of Korah's rebellion. I'm so sick of the gainsaying of Korah. I'm so sick of Balaam's mixing. I'm so sick of the way of Cain. Our salvation is in the law. It's revealed to us. You can say, oh, praise God, Jesus, I'm saved. You can say that for the rest of your life. Unless there's a renewal of your mind, be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Asked you 1,000 times over the years, how are you different from anybody else in the world? I've asked you 1,000 times, what difference does it made in your life whether or not Christ was born, that he lived, that he died, that he was resurrected? Now you will have to test that difference. Private grapes, no private fermenting. Lepers were excluded from the priesthood, obviously. Leprosy was often hereditary. The disease is a great Scrabble word. It's zymotic, Z-Y-M-O-T-I-C. Zymotic describes that process that we talked about earlier, a small microbe. This wasn't discovered until 1871, but a small microbe begins this process in the flesh. The question is, why doesn't everybody have leprosy? Well, because your immune system gets rid of it. It's contagious, but not very. I mean, you really don't have to worry about it. I mean, It's not going to be spread by casual contact. You have to be yoked together to spread it. Understand what that means? You have to be in a state of an alliance to spread it. The wild, wild part of leprosy is it produces anesthesia in the limbs that are affected, so you don't feel any pain. That's why it's so dangerous. If you bump against something, your hand will fall off, and you won't even know it. The point of leprosy is that you don't know you have it! There's no feeling there. Exhort one another while it is still called today. Another form is where the there's nodular growths that are seen. There's small little nodes on the flesh. And it grows there for a while, and the limb falls off by itself. You don't even have to hit it. The finger will fall off at the first knuckle. Nose will fall off. Tongue, lips fall off. That's what Isaiah, speaking spiritually, says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." That's enough. I want you to think about these things. The only hope is to be declared leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Then by the mystery of the law, you're clean. But you have to agree. You have to see it. If there's one spot, even the size half of a grain of barley anywhere in the body, you're declared unclean. You have to be inspected by the priests in the normal course, not in your Sunday best, but in various postures, which are the postures that you do daily when you conduct your life. The study of leprosy will destroy religion. The study of leprosy will destroy your righteousness. The study of leprosy, understood, will cause you to run with every bit of energy in you towards the cross of Christ. The study of leprosy will be the thing that will cause the renewal of your mind to continue or to be renewed at warp speed. Your mind won't have a chance. Again, hear me. If you catch yourself beginning to think of results desired, you know you're in danger. Man, the Tzaddik, remember the Tzaddik's duty? The Tzaddik's duty is to declare to you the extreme life-threatening danger that you're in. And then at the same moment, to declare unto you the solution that's available. The solution is abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. Did I spark anybody's thinking? Talk to me. What do you hear? What are you thinking?
Well, I remember when I had my hot seat, and it was, you know, The end result was frustrating, but that I was like Lazarus and had to have my grave closed.
Man.
And how that is, when you talked about tonight, how leprosy is you don't feel the parts that are affected. And that's very much like me. You know, I don't feel it, you know. I don't know when I'm kicking somebody or my numbness. I can see myself there very, very real.
Well, Pete?
Yeah, part about not feeling, God, because like Monday, when I was in the midst of it, I had no idea. And then, it's just not feeling.
Yeah, what I heard at the end here was the thing about being totally let loose. Seeing that you're totally let loose. Because, I mean, that's a very real thing to me from the other morning. The horrible, horrible feeling of that crashing through the block of being totally let loose. Totally hopeless. And then the immediate release.
Please, again, talk to, I wish the rest of the Bible study teachers were here. Say, let me, you guys can talk to them. Okay, anybody have anything else? Everybody walking away with perfect understanding. Take it, big guy.